Welcome to another episode of your favorite horror podcast, Gore Buddies.
Featuring,
that's right, his voice, that deep, sexy voice, is Anthony Pico Di Gallo. And then I am Pete Hoffman. Again, you can follow us on social media at Pico_Day_Gallo. Why does I always throw the accent on it? It's not Gallo.
Well, that's
Gallo.
The proper way to say it. And everyone who I even say it like that because it's tough. When I say, I'm afraid I'm going to say it to someone who speaks Spanish and they're going to be like, it's Gallo. I'm like, yeah, but I'm Gallo. I'm Italian. We're playing. It's a play on my name.
It's like Joey Gallo.
I'm not ordering quesadillas with a side of Pico de Gallo on it.
Which now I'm in the mood for quesadillas.
I do want a quesadilla. Mm-hmm. I could eat a quesadilla.
There might be pizza though here right now. So we have to
pizza Fridays.
Yeah, that's good.
Thank you, Greg.
That's why we stay late.
And Evan.
That's why Tom Izzo hangs around because pizza Fridays.
For some reason my brain is works slow on Fridays, but it always works out where I leave with a slice of pizza.
Yes. Also, you can check me out at Hoff WFAN. Anything horror wise that's coming out that's tickling your fancy? So, by the way, one thing that's just an odd note. I see that they're making a new Friday the 13th video game. I'm not sure if that's real.
I don't know if maybe you saw, because they are, I think they are, but there was also a Friday the 13th game that came out not too long ago. And then there's a game called, I think it's called Dying Light, but that might be a zombie game. There's a game where you are essentially, it's a 4v1 game. Mm-hmm. And one person is the horror villain, and the other four have to do missions before they all get killed. And what they did was they've partnered up with like Jason, they've partnered up with Mike Myers, whoever companies own that. They have Demogorgon version. They have, if you've ever seen Dead Space, they have like the villain from Dead Space. So they add in a bunch of actual licensed monsters. So the Friday the 13th game that came out prior was kind of like that. But I don't know if there's a new one that is, it could be like turn-based. Mm. Or not turn-based, like Choose Your Own Adventure. I forget what they're called. There's a couple of really great, and you would enjoy them as, I know that you're not much of a gamer anymore, but it might be fun to do it like your oldest, at least, because it's a little too mature for the young ones. But it's essentially, they watch, they're your kid. Essentially, it's a Choose Your Own Adventure game, and the first one is like a slasher, but the way you depict it either goes from like it's a regular crazy person slasher or a supernatural slasher.
Oh, that's cool.
It's so much fun. You can lose the game, but you play to the end no matter what.
Oh, that's always fun.
Yes, because it's just how does the movie play out. Then they have another one that's like on a boat that I never played.
On a boat. I'm not, like I said, I'm not the biggest video game guy anymore. I haven't played video games in a while. And I usually just did sports video games. So I didn't really do the horror stuff. I didn't really do the one player, you know, isolated character, whatever.
And I am single and basically a born again virgin, so I play a lot of video games.
Would you consider Twisted Metal like a?
It had horror elements,
right?
I mean, at the time, it was like, I guess I would say that's more metal. I know that the ironic heavy Twisted Metal, but like I feel like it's more metal, like metal culture, than it would be horror. But the clown, I think they had a guy called the Executioner in it.
So I just saw a trailer.
That's such a great game.
I just saw a trailer for a movie.
For Twisted Metal?
Yeah.
We're going to get all of that now because we are the ones buying tickets to the movies, whether you have kids or you're like me and live in an attic.
So it's gone from like the Marvel stuff to now video game. Like, so Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, no, I think that Marvel, I don't know. I'm tired of superhero movies. This is not a knock on the movies themselves. I'm just tired of any superhero, anything. Or any Star Wars anything.
Do they have a horror Marvel? No.
Yeah. Marvel Zombies.
But not talking about like movies.
Well, they had Morbius, but Morbius sucked.
What's that?
Morbius is like a vampire villain, superhero. Ooh. I don't even know if
it's like the vampire.
It's like a anti-hero, but he, I think, is in Spider-Man's lineage. I'm not the biggest. I read comics, but I read more of the horror comics, Walking Dead.
Yeah.
The one-offs. DC, you read that, the deceased one.
Which was really
good. That's horror. That's dread. That's, to me, is, if you're not into the zombies or the horror, it's a little weird, but to me, that was great.
It was. Yeah. Oh, it was fantastic, and I would watch that, because that's where, I'm tired of the same, like...
Well, Marvel Zombies is coming out. I think it's going to be an animated series, but it's
I
got...
I don't want the animated, I want the real life stuff.
I think it has an M rating, though, which will be good. Or not M.
It'll
be M.
For the sex, right? For the mature for the sex.
And probably Disney just being freaked out.
Oh, that's Disney. Oh, they're definitely going to kill it then.
I feel
like Disney doesn't do very well with the graphic nature content.
They did a good job. Did you watch Marvel What If?
No.
Marvel What Ifs was a comic book where it's like, what if Captain America was British or something like that? Or like, like, what if Hulk killed... Like, they're all
it would be Captain America. It would be Captain Britain.
It was like, what if Hulk killed Thor or something like that? Like, they have all these things. So they made a couple, and they did an animated series, and one of them was the Marvel Zombies, and it was good, and it was made for all ages, but they did a good job of... There's still funny parts, but they did a good job of making it still have a little bit of an adult dread theme.
Mm.
But Marvel Zombies is half funny and half horror because, like, the zombies can talk in the comic. The show, they don't do that. But the one-off, they can't. But in the comic, they talk. So, like, Hulk eats a bunch of people, and then he turns into Bruce Banner because he's not hungry anymore. And they're like, oh, did you eat? And he's like, no, but he's got the bones popping out of his stomach.
That's kind of, listen.
Robert Kirkman of Walking Dead actually did those comics.
Is that right?
Yes.
Listen, I am into that type of twisted thing. Like, I can't sit there and buy into the basic nature of it anymore. To me, I feel like Marvel is all basic with their storylines, their plots. It's all the same thing.
If you like that, I'm sure it's great.
Yeah, but after a while, it gets a little tedious.
Can we agree, because we are both film buffs? I would say we're both...
I'm a very film buff.
We're nerds. We love movies. Yeah. I think the people who are really into Marvel are Marvel fans.
Yeah.
And they will watch those no matter what. Like, we watched all of Walking Dead.
Yes.
I'm sure people are like, this sucks. A lot of people say that. Oh,
it was terrible for some most of it, I would say.
But I
put myself through it.
For me, my issue with the Marvel and the Star Wars is we get no original content anymore. Like, we, as horror fans, a lot of what we want to see is the original content. We both love, like, drama, thrillers. I do like the Academy Award-winning movies, too. Like, you're not getting that with Marvel. And they all follow the same arc. There's also no end to them. Now they're just two-hour episodes in this world.
Right, and this continuation and all this other stuff. It's just like, okay, here you go. It's 2 hours. We'll make the movie feel as long as possible because you're going to pay a lot of money to watch it. And then, by the way, it's going to continue down the line, and then we got, you know, things built in until 2032. Yeah.
And it's why a movie, like the Guardians movies I like, because each one of them, all right, this could end. They don't have to make another one, but they made other ones. But, yeah, that's for me... That's like, we watch horror movies. If horror movies ended without an ending, and I'm not talking about like, oh, like the guy dies or comes, but like if they ended that way and it's just like, oh, wait, we would never watch horror. We'd be like, this is so stupid.
Well, but here's the thing is, let me ask you a question about that, because I'm fine with a movie ending on a good or a bad note. Like, I'm okay with, like, let's talk about whatever. We just talked about Jaws, right? The shark died. But what if the shark didn't die? Like, some.
Or
like,
the shark died, but his dad's coming now.
Yeah, like, and it's okay. Like, and if the movie ended like that, you just think in the back of my head, oh, wow, it's going to keep going. Not saying that they're going to make more movies, but it's not ending. And it's still like Final Destination.
Like, if I know it's a trilogy, cool, but there's going to be an end at some point. With all these one-off Marvel movies, I feel like, and not to shit on Marvel right now, I feel like they all wait till this great scheme. Or this neck, the next thing is going to be crazy.
Yeah.
Like Infinity Wars, it was the two movies. Even though there was stuff you had to watch leading up to it, it was the two movies and there was an ending. Like, fuck, spoiler. Like, Tony Stark's died.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Sorry. All right.
No, I did know that because my kid told me. He's like, by the way.
And Captain America goes back in time.
Like, to hell, yes.
And there's the hell. Captain America in hell.
Could I tell you, this is how I found out the movie. I didn't watch any of it. I missed so many of those movies. But I think it was my middle guy, just couldn't shut up. And then not in a bad way. Like, you know, I love him. But he was just basically like, he was so excited. He had to tell me. He's like, oh, don't worry about it. You know, the sad part is that Iron Man dies. I'm like, why are you telling me that? Like, I haven't watched the movie. I told you I didn't watch it.
If I was a kid, it's totally different. Like, I wasn't watching movies like I watch now. I just wanted to be entertained. And those are great. But I'm not even saying like adult. I read comics. I'm not saying adults. I hate that. But like, I'm just saying like
snooty.
For me, it's just like they don't do it for me, and I know this is an unpopular opinion. And the same thing with Star Wars.
Flegel, I'm gonna kill you.
Yeah, we've argued this in Zoo. Big Zoo was not a fan of my takes.
Zoo is that big of it. I forget about.
They are. They're huge. Our boy EJ, he's very big in it.
And it's crazy. And we'll get back into our top five, top 10 list in a minute. Start with top our number five on the list. But it's interesting because you and I, like we said, we are movie buffs, right? We'll sit there and watch so much stuff. But it's so weird how, like, I'll sit there and watch everything, but there are certain genres that just totally bore me. And the Marvel's one where, as horror, like, I'll dive into and I will go through the nooks and crannies and I'll force myself to watch something so terrible as Tourist Trap today. I watched something from 1979.
We are sitting here railing on it. We've named some bad horror movies.
Oh, my God. And I sat there and I watched this thing and I'm like, oh, my God, why am I watching it? But I was doing a Rico Bronya podcast during it. So I'm like... or editing during it. So I'm like, whatever, I could put this in the background, not be totally bored. But it was so awful, but I love it. Does that make sense?
No, I get you. But we also are not, like, I'm also not going to argue with someone about how great this movie is.
Right.
Me and you get it because we have, like, so horror fans that are like that, we're all kind of the same. I guess the same thing for Marvel fans, Star Wars fans. Oh, Star Wars fans are the worst of the nerdy fans. I'll say that again. You're the worst, Star Wars fans. You ruined the movies for me, and I'm going to say a hot take. The last one they came out with was the best Star Wars movie. Eat that, Star Wars fans. Jar Jar Binks is a great character.
Oh, no.
I'm joking about that one. It's a joke. Oh, that was Mario. But
Mario dressed as Jar Jar.
Yeah, I'm built like Mario. Like, we do that, though, so, like, but I'm not expecting someone, I'll show you Midsommar and be like, you'll like this. I'm not going to go and show you, like, what was the one you just said, Tourist Trap?
Yeah.
Or Mall, what is it, Chopped Mall or whatever, when the security system fritzes?
I might take a scene from something and say, you just got to watch a scene.
Yeah.
Like, I just watched a documentary, and Gio heard me and Al Dukes talk about it. And
the curious case of I want to watch that
Natalia
so bad
Grace.
Now. Yeah.
Okay, good. So I'm not going to ruin anything for you. But I didn't know where he was. So I was like, listen, there's a couple parts that I think you just are going to bug out to. So we'll talk about it after. Because I want you to see it so we could talk about and discuss about what was your reaction. I don't want to spoil it for you and be like, oh, look at this, and then go watch the documentary. No, you find your own scenes that you like.
Exactly.
But there's some movies that are just so bad. It's just terrible the whole time. But there's this one scene where it's like, that's the movie right there. This is the movie. This is the only reason why you have to watch the movie, and that I will release, like Megalodon, Shark Attack 3, which is always love to go back to. But listen, let's get the. You mentioned Midsommar. You mentioned a lot of stuff. There's a lot to get into. We did the top. If you missed it, the previous podcast had the first half of our top 10 list. It was 10 right. through 6. This is our second half, 5 through 1. So let's get into it right now with our top 5. So what's number 5 for you? What give me
number 5? Hoff knows this movie because I tell him to watch it all the time. I'm hot take. It's the best found footage movie of all time. Hell House LLC.
Oh, yes. And I watched it.
I could have went all three. The third one I liked the most. The third one is my favorite, but I know it's the worst.
He really has talked about this all
yes,
the time.
Yes, I told Moose like, Maggie, this everybody.
This is how we got, I think, into horror movies, talking about things. And we're just like, okay, you have to watch this, you have to watch that. But you've been relentless. So what makes this movie so
amazing? It's terrifying. It is a terrifying movie, but I wanted more. It's low budget, but it doesn't ruin the movie. It's the story, obviously there's three of them, and the story follows the arc the whole time. It's really good. It's about these people who set up horror, haunted houses all around New York, and they go upstate. I forget where in upstate it is, but they buy a thing. They call it Hell House LLC, or I think that might be their companies, but they call it Hell House. It's shot documentary style, and essentially it starts with the news clippings of this, excuse me, ooh, I should hit the cough button. I'm working. They started off with like a documentary. There's a tragedy at the house. People die. No one was allowed to the crime scene. There's a lot of mystery behind it. And they only have the footage of the people who live there, but none of their bodies were found, or they all died.
Right.
And it's terrifying the way that they use the lighting to scare you. Like, there's a scene where this guy thinks that the girl that's with them is just sleepwalking, and it's clearly not her, but you can't tell because it's dark out. And then there's like, it's just, they do the 1, 2, 3 stuff. Like, you know how movies, everything happens.
Yeah, listen, by the way, I don't know if that's true. I watched that with the Last of Us, and I was going through that one scene you were talking about. And I'm like, yo, she just kept on like flipping that thing. Was it three the whole time?
No, I'm saying the whole thing is you're thinking on the third one it's going to happen.
Why? Who
like Rickon Stark running away from the arrow. After the third one misses him, you're like, he's good. But then, bam, the fourth one gets him.
If you didn't know by
now. Yeah, the most like iconic scene maybe in the show. And then the fourth one hits him. It's not that everything happens at threes, but I forgot what film class, when in college they explained it where it was like messing with that third moment could really throw someone off. And in horror, it happens a lot where you're like, okay. But
see, I'm used to the jump scares of like they'll do the
look up closer. That's what I mean. Exactly my point is there's a scene where he's hiding and he opens up and there's this girl there and he's like, oh God. And then she gets closer and he does it again. And then on the third one, she's in your face.
Right. See, they've toyed because originally it used to be the jump scare was immediate. Right. Over the years, it's progressed. The jump scare was like someone's open a door, boom, it's right there. Now it's I open the door, they're not there, you come back, maybe something's missing, Insidious maybe something's type, there.
Yeah.
And like, so they've gradually gotten to maybe the three jumps.
Right.
Or three moments to set up that jump, which is better, which I hate because me, I have my fingers in my ear. I
think
I can't
there's two ways that you can do it. If you could do it where you know it's coming and you're still scared, awesome.
Yes.
Or the, like you said, just right out the bat, you get it.
Right.
I think I'm on five.
Okay, so this is a movie. I don't have many Stephen Kings on here. I don't know if you have any Stephen Kings at all. There should be, because as I think about it, like, Pet Sematary is a classic. The Shining is freaking phenomenal. Well, was that was Kubrick, I'm thinking.
I'm making an executive decision. Put The Shining at number 10. I'm sorry, Little Monsters.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Little Monsters. About it's not Shining. Even the right real Little Monsters. Or is that Real Monsters I'm thinking of? I can't.
No, Little Monsters is the blue guy. Yeah,
that's what I'm thinking. My number 5, talk about the Stephen King, the only Stephen King, even though there should be a ton, The Mist. One of the, again, it's like the setup. Like, everything about it is a slow build, and the acting is great. I forget the main character, who the real life actor or his name, but he's badass.
Awesome.
And by the way, we're big Walk of Dead fans. Do you know who's in this movie that you see in the beginning and you don't see for a very long time after until the very end?
I can't remember.
Carol.
Oh.
Carol's in this movie. That's where I first was.
She's not the religious lady, right? The one that gets the army guy thrown out because she's like starting
No, she's not. But she does leave. So basically, you know the premise.
Yes, she leaves at the beginning.
She leaves at the very beginning, and they kind of like, okay, see you later. And you don't see her again until the tail end of it.
The most kick in the nuts ending ever.
Oh, dude, there was so many. And that's, again, there's so many moments in this. The buildup, first of all, I think the whole world, different worlds, the whole thing of like the mist coming and the spiders and whatever. It's kind of like a crazy premise. I love that. The fact that they were all stuck in this one little shop, this one little grocery store, and they're all going insane to me is just so freaking nuts. Because what are you going to, in an apocalyptic era or whatever it is, you talk about like, you know, it's not the same thing as zombies, but it feels like you're getting there. It feels like this is the beginning of something big is going to happen.
This was one of the 7 movies, I have it written here, Hoff can verify, that was on my undecided number 10.
Yes.
I love this movie. It's terrifying at times, but it's actually just like a great plot. The ending just sticks with you and hurts you. You hate people in the movie,
yes.
Like the religious woman. Not because the way she uses a religion is what you hate. It hits the tropes, all the different tropes of people, the army guy, the single dad, the old couple, all of it. And it's like survival of the fittest aspects. Like you said, a post-apocalyptic. It's good. It's action-y at times.
Yeah. And again, the cast is so good. And that's part of what I like about the Stephen King movies. Stuff
the
like that.
Show was supposedly good. I think they canceled it, but a lot of people said it was a good show.
I never watched it. And it's tough because I think I could watch a movie after I've watched the show because it's like I still maybe want more if the show's that good too. It's tough to me to go after you've completed something that's so perfect. How do you go back and like, let's try to break that down? I don't know if I could do that. So I don't know if it was able to.
I love that movie. I might watch that tonight because I haven't watched that in a long time.
So good. I've watched it so many times.
So for
number 4 for you, where you at?
This is the least shocking. There 3 of these 4 are not shocking to anyone if you listen to the last pod. Night of the Living Dead, 1969. Wow. Not 69. Not the Tom Savini remake. Tom Savini, one of the best makeup artists in the history of horror. He did all of George Romero's zombies. I actually don't think he did Night of the Living Dead. He started with Dawn of the Dead. Night of the Living Dead, it holds up. It holds up, period. If you watch it in black and white, it holds up. If you watch the colored version, it doesn't hold up as much because they stencil in the color.
Right, yeah.
it holds up to this day because the low budget effects are protected by the black and white. Like them when the car blows up and the zombies are eating everything.
Oh yeah,
it's really good. The ending, when you think about, and this is more than just the movie. When you think about the ending of they shoot the main character. Because they don't even check to see if he's a zombie. They shoot him. It's 1969 America. There's a bunch of white dudes. And the way that he ends the movie, I can't imagine how it went over in the country. And it was ballsy. First of all, he casted I don't know if it was the first movie, one of the first to cast the lead as a black man and a woman as the two main characters. Yeah. And she's great as she does such a good job. They're coming to get you, Barbara. Iconic line. Even that's scary, but it's really good because you have no expectations at this point because it's the first zombie movie, but she plays such a mentally broken person so well that it makes you feel mentally broken.
Yeah.
I love it. Everything about it, the backstory that I just gave you, the fact that he added stuff in it because he felt that he wouldn't get the proper rating. And it's got one of the best trailers of all time, too.
I don't remember the trailer, which, by the way, we should do revisit some of these movies.
And some of those old trailers are scary.
Yeah, I don't remember. That's why we have to go back.
Well, this one I only saw like maybe like 4 or 5 years ago because I watched something like that, but it shows you like the ad campaign for it.
This is also...
Oh, it was Eli Roth's horror documentary show that he had.
Yeah.
He did one on zombies, and they talk about the...
Do I have Eli? Well, I do have Eli Roth because he did.
It's on AMC and it's on Shudder. So,
by the way, those countdowns on AMC were great. Did Shudder ever have like a countdown at all? I know.
Yes, but they're all the AMC stuff because AMC owns Shudder.
Oh gosh. Okay.
So then you're on number four.
Yeah, and just really quickly, I have to say, if I didn't say this, she'd probably kill me. But my wife, that's one of her favorite movies.
Night of the Living Dead.
Oh, 100%.
And the remake's not bad. The 1991's not bad. Yeah, it's just not the same.
It's not the same. No, and listen, It's a classic. And I don't know if I don't have any real classics on here, actually, to be honest with you, besides Jaws. Number four to me, Saw. I think it was
so good.
It really is. Again, it's torture porn, torture, whatever you want to call it. But
at the time, yes, but then Hostel came out and we're like, oh, Saw's so immaculate.
This was, I will say this, and I will openly admit it, and maybe it's because going in there, someone said, when you find out the ending, you're going to be so pissed off, or it's going to shock you so much. And I can openly admit, this is the only movie I've ever gotten right in the first 5 minutes. I go, it's probably the guy that's on the floor. That's it. And I didn't like make a big deal out of it. And then I started to change it up. Like, I can't.
That's a good movie.
But yeah, it's phenomenal. And again, it's another brain teaser. And the series as a whole, they did a good job, I think, with a lot of the series to be able to like string you along.
I enjoy it very much.
But the first one, you can never go back. I rewatched that 1,000 times. I watched the documentaries, the behind the scenes of how they made that, what they were planning on doing. The writers, the director, everyone was just, that movie was perfect. Cary Elwes was such a great actor from like the 80s and just someone that kind of like was lost through the thick of things over the years, but when they brought him back, he played that asshole doctor so well. It was so good. And again, the ending. And here's the thing about this movie too is, you walk out of that movie, kind of like you like the guy at the end. Like, even though he killed everybody, you still kind of like Jigsaw. You kind of like the character.
He is an anti-hero to an extent.
Yeah.
Because all these people have nefarious past, except for when they get and he passes away and they start having the other Jigsaws. That's when it changes.
Right.
I thought the Chris Rock movie was it wasn't terrible.
It wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad. It was just I do think that the story as a whole is awesome. Like the third one when it's all it's supposed to be the halfway house almost.
Yeah.
And then you find out like one of them's in on it. All of it is so good. The one with the doctor, you have to keep me alive. Like,
yes. Yeah. They connected very well.
The first one, though, that ending, and it's got the biggest thing that horror movies do to you. What would I do in that situation? And when he gets that saw, you're like, I don't think I would do it. I think I'd die.
I'm going to die anyway. But like, do you go out or just go out full man? I don't know if I cut myself.
And it's just like that door closing is so perfectly done and haunting at the end.
Dude, and they go back to the key, by the way, going flushing down the sink. Not the sink, but the tub. Like, there's so many different fucking things part of that movie. Yeah. It just pops up.
Well, and it gives you that nervous energy when you're fumbling with stuff. It yes. gets you like, just hold on to it.
So go to your number three, because I know that you have another classic that I don't have.
Dawn of the Dead. The original. I could have went either
Did
Dawn
of
the
Dead. Did you just go Dead movies, the last five?
No. Three of the last four. Well, one of them's Hell House, but in the five. But Dawn of the Dead, the original, this is one of those ones that if you didn't watch it when you could be suspended in disbelief, it probably is cheesy. I think it's so good. It basically set the genre for the... Like, Night of the Living Dead created it, but this kind of set the direction that the right. genre was going.
Now, is this the one where they're messing around with the zombies, where they find them in, like... They're kind of underground, and they kind of have them like...
No, that's Day of the Dead. Day that's of the Dead. 80s one. Okay, so it. Each one kind of goes... Night of the Living Dead deals with race. It deals with, like, the Red Scare. Dawn of the Dead, it was consumerism. Like, oh, why are they coming back here? And it's like, because this is, like, all they remember. And they're in the mall. The cast is really good. Everything about it's good. In my opinion, it's awesome. I wish they would just remake that. The new remake was awesome, too. 04 was awesome.
No, that one I remember very well.
Hell yeah.
So good.
The Get Down with the... Everything about it was awesome.
Who was the cast in the original one? Was there anybody big in that?
No. The guy, he was in a lot of... He's in a lot of stuff now, but it's I couldn't name any of the
actors.
Because
that's the other thing, too. Like, you gotta remember, we haven't even touched on... We should definitely go to one of those horror... Like shows that they have, they bring back all these old characters from a ton of
Asbury Park. When they would do the zombie walk, the weekend of the zombie walk, they would have a zombie con.
Have you done a zombie con before?
I've got a zombie con. I've actually bought, if you're watching The Walking Dead, the woman who gets shot in the first episode, the wife of Morgan, which is such a pivotal scene. I actually got her autograph.
Of course you did.
It was like $5, but I got it. But it was cool. They had people from Dawn of the Dead. You know, Comic-Con, they'll do that sometimes, too.
Yes.
But that movie holds up well. It's fun. It is cheesy. The newer one holds up, obviously, but this one, the zombies are blue-looking. The blood is a little too red at times. But there's just this FX, when he hits the guy in the head with the machete, that had never been done at that point. Yeah. And it was, like, groundbreaking. And it's the most iconic part of the movie, and he puts his leg on it and pulls the machete out. Tom Savini is the biker there.
Badass. All right, so now I'm going to do something that I haven't gone back to it since the first one was Freddy vs. Jason, right? So you'd think I'd be doing a lot more slasher films. I really haven't done it, but I'm going to go back to it right now. Number three, Halloween 6, The Curse of Michael Myers. And you go, how do you get 6? Halloween 6, The Curse of Michael Myers. The reason why I got this is because...
Craig Carton, what's your favorite horror movie of all time?
We got a little side project going on. Uh-oh, here we go.
I'm not really a horror movie kind of guy, per se, but the first time I saw Saw, I was not comfortable.
You're not comfortable?
I was not comfortable. I thought I was going to be kidnapped for the next 6 months.
When did you realize that he was the killer? When he got up, or did you know it beforehand?
No, I know to the end.
That's the only movie
I started watching Saw 2, and I was like, no, I'm not invested in this franchise.
But were you like were you into slasher?
Never, stuff? No, I didn't like any of that stuff.
How about zombies?
By the way, I hate zombies. Anything with zombies, I turn it off. I don't like things in outer space. I don't like zombies. I don't want Star Trek, Star Wars. I don't like that stupid movie where Matt Damon grows potatoes on Mars.
It's a great movie.
I got no interest in any of it.
So you're not gonna go with Bezos up to outer space?
I don't know who that is or what movie that is. Oh, that guy?
Yeah.
No, I'm not going out of space. No, I don't like traveling abroad. I did see Hostel though.
It's a great movie.
Yeah. Hostel was a better movie than Saw. It wasn't scary to me.
Well, but he called it torture porn.
Yeah, but I feel like I have a daughter now who like wants to travel and do stuff.
No.
Yeah, you can't watch those movies because you don't go to bed. So, what are you guys doing here? This is like a podcast?
This is a new project that we're working on, yes.
Nice.
What's it called?
Gore Buddies.
Oh, nice. Yeah. We get ripped on for the 10 minutes. Great.
Yeah, it's good.
All right, thank you. That's a nice little cameo.
Greg Carton, host of the number one radio show in afternoon drive radio show in the world.
Yes, perfect timing. All right, so we're talking about Halloween.
He just tore down everything we loved.
Everything we loved, it just shot down to shit. Thank you, Craig.
You were at your
Halloween,
number three.
Yes, number three, Halloween 6, The Curse of Michael Myers. You said, how do you get to Halloween 6? Well, first of all, let me tell you this.
Not the one Busta Rhymes?
No, well, and it was just great.
I love that one.
Can I be fair? It's one of the first Halloweens that I actually saw in the theater. So maybe I got more of an attraction to it, but it was also Paul Rudd is in it. I'm a fucking huge Paul Rudd fan. This is his first movie that I think I can remember. I don't think I think it was his first
role. He was in that movie, it's like the Rebeccas or something like that. The Amandas, he's like, it's like a weird, it was like a 90s movie. Like
was
a,
it before this?
I can't remember.
I thought this was before, but maybe I could be wrong. Either way, it's a great movie. It's dark. I understand it takes you a little bit out away from, it brings you back into the whole Halloween universe. It's a distant cousin, so I understand, like, some people are going to be like, oh, it's not the same thing. It's a cousin or sister or whatever it is. She's grown up, all this stuff. But it's a relative of Michael Myers. And just, there was a lot of cool things. This is the last one from Donald Pleasance. He died in real life, so they couldn't even bring him back in another movie anyway. But this is his last film that he was in. So there's a lot of cool things about it. But again, I just, for some reason, to me, that movie stuck out. There's not the craziest death scenes, but they bring it back. Listen, all the Halloweens besides three were pretty freaking good, but this one sticks out to me being such a badass movie. Again, Paul Rudd being probably one of the reasons.
I think Halloween, Friday the 13th, and Nightmare on Elm Street, Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, not as many movies, but they all... Well, I would say 80% of those movies are good movies, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, you can tear them down if you want, but, like, Jason X is a little... It sucks. Yeah. I like it because it's funny and it's so bad. But, like, yeah. the second... Is it the... Which one's the Michael Myers one with the witch? That one I don't count.
That's the third one.
That's Halloween 3?
That's the one that...
I don't count that one, obviously.
Nobody does. That's why... That's what I'm saying. Like, you kind of have to exit that one out. And it's funny because they all kind of do... twist and turn together, which is kind of cool. It's like that's what the Saws did kind of well. Hostel, not as much. That's why they only probably had three of them, because the third one, Hostel, it actually took place
in
America.
It's also a lot harder, because like back then it was like you had those four movies releasing every year, but you didn't get anything else.
Yes.
Now we have a million streaming services, everything. Even, you know, the third Hostel came out, 2012?
Yeah.
So like it was at a time where, all right, what's the next big thing? A lot of stuff only... Hangover only did three movies. Like, they all... The people don't have the patience for that stuff anymore.
No. All right, so go to your number. We got two.
So number two, I'm just going to say it. We already talked about it. Midsommar. It's not only one of my favorite horror movies. It's in my top 10 if we made a list of movies.
Yes.
You're number two.
Okay, so back to the slasher films. Nightmare on Elm Street, part 3. It is the Dream Warriors... No, is it the Dream Warriors? I'm drawing a blank.
Dream Warriors is awesome.
Is it?
I don't know if that's number three though.
It should be. I'm drawing a blank because I don't want to be wrong with it because I was overthinking something. No, because number four is, it's number three. Dream Warriors. Thank goodness. Number four was just as good. Number four is really good because I love a lot of the characters in it. But Dream Warriors, they bring back Nancy because think about this, right? Number two. Part two, they got away from the whole Nancy era. It was a different, they all have their duds. And I think Nightmare on Elm Street part two is a complete dud. But part three, you have Dream Warriors. They're in an insane asylum, basically. And a lot of kids are in there and no one could sleep. And it's just kind of hanging on this whole thing of like, something bad's going on. And again, the nightmares a little bit more, gruesome and just the characters.
That's saying something, because the series kicks off with a guy getting sucked through a bed, right, spewing blood out of
that
it.
That is, well, but
Johnny Damon, not Johnny Damon.
This is the one where, if you recall, the kid is basically a puppet, and Freddy has him with the veins popping out and walking him like a little freaking puppet. I'm like, this is crazy. This is very uncomfortable. There was a lot of good characters in there. Patricia Arquette's in it.
Yes.
You have Lawrence Fishburne is in it. And obviously Nancy comes back and they actually kill her off at the end of this one, which I spoiler alert, the movie's over 30 years
also,
old.
Also, we talk about this a lot. Friday, Nightmare on Elm Street's influence. There's a reason why Nancy's a character in Stranger Things. And there's also a reason why the last season was basically just Nightmare on Elm Street.
And amazing, by the way. I wish that they should recreate a Freddy Krueger Nightmare on Elm Street, because the new remake was so bad, they have to erase it and start all over again.
I liked the one with the backstory, but it wasn't as good as the other
ones. Dark.
and made you feel too bad for him.
Right.
Well, I just want to be like, this guy sucks and he scares me.
Well, but no, but here's the thing that was so endearing about Freddy Krueger is that I kind of liked him. He was a piece
of... Oh, he's funny. He makes you laugh.
Right. His personality really came out in 3, 4, 5, etc. But even though the first one, you know of him as somewhat a child killer, the newest ones, they made him like, oh, by the way, look what he did to all these little kids. It's like, yeah. I don't want to think about that. I kind of want to just know him as some funny guy who has some funny lines here and there and stabs you in the chest. Number one for Anthony
this
Gallo.
This is the least shocking thing, because I've said it a million times. It's my favorite horror movie and my favorite movie probably ever, Shaun of the Dead. It is chef's kiss. It's a masterpiece. It's hilarious. It's beautifully done. And it's scary at times. There's some stuff you can't say now because it's not appropriate, obviously, right, for this. It's funny. It has some really laugh-out-loud scenes. Everything about it. And there are parts where you're like, this is terrifying. And if you've seen it, the first 15 minutes is basically 7 minutes split into two parts, one going forward and one going in reverse. He gets up. He goes to the store. Mm-hmm. He opens the door the same way.
Yep.
The same people are there, alive, and then zombies. And he goes through, everything is happening the same way. And it's basically the first 7 minutes is also the next 7 minutes, just in reverse as the apocalypse is happening.
But it was brilliant. It was done so well. I remember that.
Yes.
It's phenomenal opening to a movie.
When they walk out and they do the white light. All of it. I love it. Two of my favorite actors is Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, because then I watched Hot Fuzz and I loved Run Boy Run and At World's End. It's so good. They call it the Cornette trilogy is the three movies because of the snacks.
All right. One of my favorite scenes, and it's so stupid, it's so subtle, but it's like when they run into that other group of people that are doing
the same.
And they're all the same. Yeah, and but that's the brilliance of Simon Pegg. It's like everything that he does, there's a reason for it, and it's just like it might seem stupid, but it's just so smart. It really is.
And people think it's in a romance movie. It's a friend movie because,
oh my God,
you have the deadbeat in Nick Frost.
Yes.
And his really loyal friend. And like I always think about the scene, you're like emotional, everything's crumbling, and Sean shoots the roommate. I said leave him alone. It's such a great scene. He puts the bullets are on top of the bar and he goes to grab them. And it's like there's everything's going wrong for them. But at this one moment, they get lucky because the bullets shoot off.
Yes.
And they kill enough people. And then I think like one of the zombies falls and they're like, what is this? And then they go down. It's so good. It holds up. It's 20 years old now.
Yeah.
Like anyone could go back and watch it and be like, wow. The tint of the movie is gives it an eerie feel. It all ties from front to back. Like it really ties together. And the ending is feel good. He's a zombie, but they're still friends. They're playing video games.
Exactly. They're doing how they started.
Simon Pegg's life was awesome after the zombie apocalypse.
Yes.
He got the girl, his best friend's in the shed. Like I really love it. I loved zombie movies. That really solidified because then a couple months later, Dawn of the Dead came out, the remake.
Yes.
And that got me hooked. But this was by far, I've watched this movie 60 times probably.
Was Resident Evil before or after that? I feel like
it could have been the same year. The first Resident Evil was on my OLIs, my outside looking.
I feel like there was a lot. They're two different movies, but because again, one is. It's like a video game. It's taking place down in the corrupted tech company or whatever it is. But this is like I feel like there was so many different things that this movie bounced off of. And that's the brilliance of Simon Pegg 2 again is.
Oh, it's 2002, so actually it came out before.
It did.
Unless Shaun of the Dead came out in 02. I think it's 03 though.
But Shaun
of the Dead was 04.
So Shaun of the Dead, I think, not to say they took from things, but I think they saw what was going on, and they just made fun of it. And that's the brilliance of a movie like that, too.
There's a lot of throwbacks to George Romero, which is, again, he's the father, the godfather of zombies. There's a lot of throwbacks to Wes Craven. It's really good. I could not recommend. I could go on. We could do a whole episode of me just rambling for an hour about Shaun of the Dead.
We'll have a whole episode of just the best zombie films of all
time. We'll do that in the future.
And we'll have a whole thing of slasher.
That's like the filler. And now Hoff's number one, which I actually have no idea where we're going.
Right, because it's funny, because I did a lot of slashers, but this is not a slasher one. It's my all-time favorite movie. And this is a movie that I never watched a trailer for. I sat down, And I had no
idea. I hope it's not Idle Hands.
And I never knew what I was watching. I had no idea. And then there was chaos. The Descent. First of all, the opening scene when the husband, you know, dies with the car accident or whatever it is, and the whole family dies, right? She's the only one that lives through it. You could see the setup, the building of, you know, there's something going on with one of her friends and the guy. You could see all the stuff building. The car accident happens. Then they go away on a treat. It's a year later or whatever it is. And you basically just like, I have no idea what the storyline is. I have no idea where we're going to go. I have no idea it's even a horror movie. Just my cousin said, sit down and watch this movie. So we did. And they're going through spelunking, cave diving in the most uncomfortable, claustrophobic moments I've ever been in. And I felt so tight watching this movie. And then they're having to go across this, you know, cave, like kind of hang over and hook each other on through and go across this, like, this cave where you can't even see how far down it is. You don't know if there's water. You have no idea what's below them, whatever it is. And you're getting into these uncomfortable situations. And then out of nowhere, after all this stress, after all this chaos, the movie just turns over and there's a freaking scary villain, like a demonic creature that attacks them and tries to kill them all, and the movie just goes chaotic.
And it might not even be the biggest villain.
Oh, right, exactly.
And the ending, very chainsaw. Hold on to it!
So go to your number three, because I know that you have another classic that I don't have.
Dawn of the Dead, the original. I could have went either
Did
Dawn of
the
Dead.
Did you just go dead movies, the last five?
No. Three of the last four. Well, one of them's Hell House, but in the five. But Dawn of the Dead, the original, this is one of those ones that if you didn't watch it, when you could be suspended in disbelief, it probably is cheesy. I think it's so good. It basically set the genre for the... like, Night of the Living Dead created it, but this kind of set the direction that the right. genre was going.
Now, is this the one where they're messing around with the zombies, where they find them in, like... they're kind of underground, and they kind of have them, like...
No, that's Day of the Dead. Day that's the Dead. 80s
okay,
one.
Okay,
so each one kind of goes... Night of the Living Dead deals with race. It deals with, like, the Red Scare... Dawn of the Dead, it was consumerism. Like, oh, why are they coming back here? And it's like, because this is like all they remember. And they're in the mall. The cast is really good. Everything about it's good. In my opinion, it's awesome. I wish they would just remake that. The new remake was awesome, too. 04 was awesome.
No, that one I remember very well.
Hell yeah.
So good.
The Get Down with the... Everything about it was awesome.
Who was the cast in the original one? Was there anybody big in that?
No. The guy, he was in a lot of... He's in a lot of stuff now, but it's the I couldn't name any of the
actors. That's the other thing, too. Like, you got to remember, we haven't even touched on, we should definitely go to one of those horror, like, shows that they have. They bring back all these old characters from a ton of...
Asbury Park, when they would do the zombie walk, the weekend of the zombie walk, they would have a zombie con.
Have you done a zombie con before?
I've got a zombie con. I've actually bought, if you're watching The Walking Dead, the woman who gets shot in the first episode, the wife of Morgan, which is such a pivotal scene, I actually got her autograph.
Of course you did.
It was like $5, but I got it. But it was cool. They had people from Dawn of the Dead. You know, Comic-Con, they'll do that sometimes too.
Yes.
But that movie holds up well. It's fun. It is cheesy. The newer one holds up, obviously, but this one, the zombies are blue-looking. The blood is a little too red at times. But there's just this FX, when he hits the guy in the head with the machete, that had never been done at that point.
Yeah.
And it was like groundbreaking. And it's the most iconic part of the movie. And he puts his leg on it and pulls the machete out. Tom Savini is the biker there.
Badass. All right. Mm. So now I'm going to do something that I haven't gone back to it since the first one was Freddy vs. Jason, right? So you'd think I'd be doing a lot more slasher films. I really haven't done it, but I'm going to go back to it right now. Number three, Halloween 6, The Curse of Michael Myers. And you go, how do you get 6? Halloween 6, The Curse of Michael Myers. The reason why I got this is because...
Craig Carton, what's your favorite horror movie of all time?
We got a little side project going on. Uh-oh, here we go.
I'm not really a horror movie kind of guy, per se, but the first time I saw Saw, I was not comfortable.
You're not comfortable.
I was not comfortable. I thought I was going to be kidnapped for the next 6 months.
When did you realize that he was the killer? When he got up, or did you know it beforehand?
No, I know to the end.
That's the only movie.
And then I started watching Saw 2, and I was like, no, I'm not invested in this franchise.
But were you like were you into like slasher?
Never. Stuff? No, I didn't like any of that stuff.
How about zombies?
By the way, I hate zombies. Anything with zombies, I turn it off. I don't like things in outer space. I don't like zombies. I don't want Star Trek, Star Wars. I don't like that stupid movie where Matt Damon grows potatoes on Mars.
It's a great movie.
I got no interest in any of it.
So yeah. you're not going to go with Bezos up to outer space?
I don't know who that is or what movie that is. Oh, that guy?
Yeah.
No, I'm not going out of space. No, I don't like traveling abroad. I did see Hostel, though.
It's a great movie.
Yeah, Hostel was a better movie than Saw. It wasn't scary to me.
Well, but he called it torture porn.
Yeah, but I feel like I have a daughter now who wants to travel and do stuff.
No.
Yeah, you can't watch those movies because you don't go to bed. So Strangers. What is this? What are you guys doing here? This is like a podcast.
This is a new project that we're working on. Yes.
Yes.
What's it called?
Gore Buddies.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
We get ripped on for that thing. That's great.
Yeah, it's good.
All right. Thank you. That's a nice little cameo.
Greg Carter, host of the number one radio show and afternoon drive radio show in the world.
Yes. Perfect timing. All right. So we're talking about Halloween.
He just tore down everything we loved.
Everything we loved. It just shot down to shit. Thank you, Craig.
You were at your
Halloween,
number three.
Yes, number three, Halloween 6, The Curse of Michael Myers. You said, how do you get to Halloween 6? Well, first of all, let me tell you this.
Not the one with Busta Rhymes?
No, which is great.
I love that one.
Can I be fair? It's one of the first Halloweens that I actually saw in the theater. So maybe I got more of an attraction to it, but it was also Paul Rudd is in it. I'm a fucking huge Paul Rudd fan. This is his first movie that I think I can remember. I think it was his first
He was in that role. Movie, it's like the Rebeccas or something like that. The Amandas, it was like a 90s movie. Like
was it before this?
I can't remember.
I thought this was before, but maybe I could be wrong. Either way, it's a great movie. It's dark. I understand it takes you a little bit away from, it brings you back into the whole Halloween universe. It's a distant cousin, so I understand like some people are going to be like, oh, it's not the same thing. It's a cousin or sister or whatever it is. She's grown up, all this stuff. But it's a relative of Michael Myers. And just there was a lot of cool things. This is the last one from Donald Pleasance. He died in real life, so they couldn't even bring him back in another movie anyway. But this was his last film that he was in. So there's a lot of cool things about it. But again, I just, for some reason, to me, that movie stuck out. There's not the craziest death scenes, but they bring it back. Listen, all the Halloweens besides 3 were pretty freaking good, but this one sticks out to me being such a badass movie. Again, Paul Rudd being probably one of the reasons.
I think Halloween, Friday the 13th, and Nightmare on Elm Street, Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, not as many movies, but they all... I would say 80% of those movies are good movies, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, you can tear them down if you want, but, like, Jason X is a little... It sucks. Yeah. I like it because it's funny and it's so bad. But, like, the second... Which one's the Michael Myers one with the witch? That one I don't count.
That's the third one.
That's Halloween 3?
That's the one that...
I don't count that one, obviously.
Nobody does. That's why... That's what I'm saying. Like, you kind of have to exit that one out. And it's funny because they all kind of do... twist and turn together, which is kind of cool. That's what the Saws did kind of well. Hostel, not as much. That's why they only probably had 3 of them, because the third one, Hostel, it actually took place
in
America.
It's also a lot harder, because like back then it was like you had those 4 movies releasing every year, but you didn't get anything else.
Yes.
Now we have a million streaming services, everything. Even, you know, the third Hostel came out, 2012?
Yeah.
So it was at a time where, all right, what's the next big thing? A lot of stuff only... Hangover only did 3 movies. Like, the people don't have the patience for that stuff
anymore. No. All right, so go to your number. We got
so
two
number
left.
Two, I'm just going to say it. We already talked about it. Midsommar. It is. It's not only one of my favorite horror movies. It's in my top 10 if we made a list of movies.
Yes.
Your number 2.
Okay, so back to the slasher films. Nightmare on Elm Street, part 3. It is the Dream Warriors... No, is it the Dream Warriors? I'm drawing a blank.
Dream Warriors is awesome.
Is it?
I don't know if that's number 3 though.
It should be. I'm drawing a blank because I don't want to be wrong with it because I was overthinking something. No, because number 4 is, it's number 3. Dream Warriors. Thank goodness. Number 4 was just as good. Number 4 is really good because I love a lot of the characters in it. But Dream Warriors, they bring back Nancy because think about this, right? Number 2. Part 2, they got away from the whole Nancy era. It was a different... they all have their duds. And I think Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2 is a complete dud. But Part 3, you have Dream Warriors. They're in an insane asylum, basically. And a lot of kids are in there, and no one could sleep. And it's just kind of hanging on this whole thing of, like, something bad's going on, and again, the nightmare's a little bit more gruesome, and just the characters.
That's saying something, because the series kicks off with a guy getting sucked through a bed, right, spewing blood out of
that
it.
Is, well, but
Johnny Damon, this is the, or Johnny Depp, not Johnny Damon.
This is the one where, if you recall, the kid is basically a puppet, and Freddy has him with the veins popping out and walking him like a little freaking puppet. I'm like, this is crazy. This is very uncomfortable. There was a lot of good characters in there. Patricia Arquette's in it.
Yes.
You have Lawrence Fishburne, yes, is in it. And obviously Nancy comes back, and they actually kill her off at the end of this one, which I spoiler alert, the movie's over 30 years
also,
old.
Also, we talk about this a lot. Friday, Nightmare on Elm Street's influence. There's a reason why Nancy's a character in Stranger Things. There's also a reason why the last season was basically just Nightmare on Elm Street.
Amazing, by the way. I wish that they should recreate a Freddy Krueger Nightmare on Elm Street, because the new remake was so bad, they have to erase it and start all over again.
I liked the one with the backstory, but it wasn't as good
as
the other
one. It was too dark.
It and made you feel too bad for him.
Right. Well,
I just want to be like, this guy sucks and he scares me.
Well, but here's the part. The thing that was so endearing about Freddy Krueger is that I kind of liked him. He was a piece.
Well, he's funny. He makes you laugh.
Right. His personality really came out in 3, 4, 5, etc. But even though the first one, you know of him as somewhat a child killer, the newest ones, they made him like, oh, by the way, look what he did to all these little kids. It's like, yeah. I don't want to think about that. I kind of want to just know him as some funny guy who has some funny lines here and there and stabs you in the chest. Number one for Anthony
this
Gallo.
This is the least shocking thing, because I've said it a million times. It's my favorite horror movie and my favorite movie probably ever, Shaun of the Dead. It is chef's kiss. It's a masterpiece. It's hilarious. It's beautifully done. And it's scary at times. There's some stuff you can't say now because it's not appropriate, obviously, right, for this. It's funny. It has some really laugh-out-loud scenes. Everything about it. And there are parts where you're like, this is terrifying. And if you've seen it, the first 15 minutes is basically 7 minutes split into two parts, one going forward and one going in reverse. He gets up. He goes to the store. Mm-hmm. He opens the door the same way.
Yep.
The same people are there, alive, and then zombies. And he goes through, everything is happening the same way. And it's basically the first 7 minutes is also the next 7 minutes, just in reverse as the apocalypse is happening.
But it was brilliant. It was done so well. I remember that.
Yes.
It's phenomenal opening to a movie.
When they walk out and they do the white light. All of it. I love it. Two of my favorite actors is Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, because then I watched Hot Fuzz and I loved Run Boy Run and At World's End. It's so good. They call it the Cornette trilogy is the three movies.
Is that what
because of the snacks.
All right. One of my favorite scenes, and it's so stupid, it's so subtle, but it's like when they run into that other group of people that are doing
the same. And
they're
all the same.
Yeah, and but that's the brilliance of Simon Pegg. It's like everything that he does, there's a reason for it, and it's just like it might seem stupid, but it's just so smart. It really is.
And people think it's in a romance movie. It's a friend movie, because
oh my God,
you have the deadbeat in Nick Frost.
Yes.
And his really loyal friend. And like I always think about the scene, you're like emotional, everything's crumbling, and Sean shoots the roommate. I said leave him alone. It's such a great scene. He puts the bullets are on top of the bar and he goes to grab them. And it's like there's everything's going wrong for them. But at this one moment, they get lucky because the bullets shoot off.
Yes.
And they kill enough people. And then I think like one of the zombies falls and they're like, what is this? And then they go down. It's so good. It holds up. It's 20 years old now.
Yeah.
Like anyone could go back and watch it and be like, wow. The tint of the movie is gives it an eerie feel. It all ties from front to back. Like it really ties together. And the ending is feel good.
He's
a zombie, but they're still friends. They're playing video games.
Exactly. They're doing how they started.
Simon Pegg's life was awesome after the zombie apocalypse.
Yes.
He got the girl, his best friend's in the shed. Like, I really love it. I loved zombie movies. That really solidified, because then a couple months later, Dawn of the Dead came out, the remake.
Yes.
And that got me hooked. But this was by far, I've watched this movie 60 times probably.
Was Resident Evil before or after that? I feel like
it could have been the same year. The first Resident Evil was on my OLIs, my outside looking
in. I feel like there was a lot. They're two different movies, because again, one is it's like a video game. It's taking place down down in the, you know, corrupted tech company or whatever it is. But this is like, you know, I feel like there were so many different things that this movie bounced off of. And that's the brilliance of Simon Pegg 2 again is...
Oh, it was 2002, so actually it came out before.
It did.
Unless Shaun of the Dead came out in 02. I think it's 03, though.
But Shaun
of the Dead was 04.
So Shaun of the Dead, I think, not to say they took from things, but I think they saw what was going on and they just made fun of it. And that's the brilliance of a movie like that, too.
There's a lot of throwbacks to George Romero, which is, again, he's the father, the godfather of zombies. There's a lot of throwbacks to Wes Craven. It's really good. We could do a whole episode of me just rambling for an hour about Shaun of the Dead.
We'll have a whole episode of just the best zombie films.
We'll do that in the future.
And we'll have a whole thing of slasher.
That's like the filler. And now Hoff's number one, which I actually have no idea where we're going.
Right, because it's funny, because I did a lot of slashers, but this is not a slasher one. It's my all-time favorite movie. And this is a movie that I'd never watched a trailer for. I sat down. And I had no idea.
I hope it's not Idle Hands.
And I never knew what I was watching. I had no idea. And then there was chaos. The Descent. First of all, the opening scene when the husband, you know, dies with the car accident or whatever it is, and the whole family dies, right? She's the only one that lives through it. You could see the setup, the building of, you know, there's something going on with one of her friends and the guy. You could see all the stuff building. The car accident happens. Then they go away in a treat. It's a year later or whatever it is. And you basically just like, I have no idea what the storyline is. I have no idea where we're going to go. I have no idea it's even a horror movie. Just my cousin said, sit down and watch this movie. So we did. And they're going through spelunking, cave diving in the most uncomfortable, claustrophobic moments I've ever been in. And I felt so tight watching this movie. And then they're having to go across this, you know, cave, like kind of hang over and hook each other on through and go across this, like, this cave where you can't even see how far down it is. You don't know if there's water. You have no idea what's below them, whatever it is. And you're getting into these uncomfortable situations. And then out of nowhere, after all this stress, after all this chaos, the movie just turns over and there's a freaking scary villain, like a demonic creature that attacks them and tries to kill them all, and the movie just goes kind of...
And it might not even be the biggest villain.
Oh, right, exactly.
And the ending, very Chainsaw Massacre-y, where you think...
Yes.
You think, oh, you're good, then psych!
Well, the thing is, too, and now the thing that's disappointing about it is they actually nailed the freaking ending. They made it sound like she survived, and then...
You're, like, relieved. Right. And then the second you feel relief, it's like, psych!
And they go back to, she's counting, singing happy birthday, and then the movie ends. And you feel like it's disappointing, but I'm okay with it. And they made a part two, and then they kind of take you out of that world, and that I couldn't hate. I actually liked being disappointed. I liked feeling like she didn't escape.
The first one is the one when she gets out, and then she wakes up in the cave, and she's not actually out, right?
Right, exactly. So she... We just ruined this whole movie for everybody.
Oh, it's like 15 years old, I think.
It's a great movie. But she's climbing up the bones, and she finds her way out, and she runs, and she gets into a car, and then all of a sudden somebody like bangs on the window, and something happens. I think she's in the... She's driving the car or something. I haven't seen it now in like 10 years. But regardless, yes, she gets back to the cave. She's in the cave and she's counting, singing happy birthday as all the demons are coming against her and attacking her. But the thing that really bugged me out the most is if you watch it now, I've ruined the movie for you, but if you've seen it already, go back and watch it again. They plant the people in behind. Like there's moments where you see the figures beforehand, but you don't pick it up the first time because you're not looking for it. If you have no idea what you're watching, if you didn't know that there was some sort of villain in the movie beforehand that was going to pop out like a demon character, you wouldn't even see it. But they plant them in the background, and it's so brilliant. It's so well done. It's so freaky, so scary. It's just amazing and intense.
I love those movies. The second one's not bad, in my opinion, but it's not the first.
No, no.
And there's another movie that's like that I'm forgetting that's kind of similar to that. But it, from the scenes in the darkness where they have to be quiet and they can't really move because the things are tracing them. And then the twist, I love that movie. Yeah. It's one that I didn't think of that could have been on my list.
All right, so throw me the list and the things that you had on it.
What I had, instead of Little Monsters, I had Hereditary, The Mist, I had Resident Evil 1, the one with Mila Jovovich, not the remake they just did, which those are good movies, but they're mostly action movies. The first one's scary.
Right.
They had the scene with the lasers. And then I mentioned this, and we're in the age of Pedro Pascal, Bloodsucking Bastards.
Yes.
It's a great, it's maybe a C-list a horror comedy, but we talked about it last time. They're in an office, they want to maximize production, and they hire a vampire, and he starts turning everyone into vampires because they're more productive. Pedro Pascal's the main vampire. It's hilarious. There's nothing scary about it, but it's hilarious.
So honorable mentions from me, Club Dread that we missed, obviously. Yes. I did like Idle Hands. I think that's an honorable mention as far as the comedy side of
Shining.
Things.
We both mentioned Shining.
It Follows is something that I can't believe that we didn't get. Did you ever watch It Follows?
I haven't
okay,
watched
so
it yet.
It Follows is something to
I've never heard a bad thing about it.
Right, so we'll get into those another time. Drag Me to Hell I thought was very well done, and I wanted to put it on there, but I just don't think it's a good movie. It's not on my top 10. There is, what else was on there that I...
We could probably do a whole show on just like sexually transmitted horror movies.
Oh, no question. I mean, seriously, there's so many of them out there. I think most of them are zombie, I feel like, right?
There's the one Inflicted where the guy becomes a vampire, which is a found footage movie. Awesome fucking movie.
Inflicted, did I see that?
It's like a friend who's got like a terminal illness and they go on this trip and he ends up getting infected by a vampire.
Like, I feel like I did see that.
Teeth. Teeth is a good movie. It's crazy concept, but good movie.
Did you ever see? I'm sure you've seen him, but
Contracted, another good.
Not Contracted. See, it's not. It's more of the werewolf vampire movie, which again, talking about like going to changing to vampires. It's more of an action film, but it kind of was very dark. It was Kate Beckinsale was the main lead.
Underworld.
Great movie. That's not really a horror movie, but I feel like
that could definitely be in the genre
horror,
though.
Action film. Yeah.
I put Shutter Island on here, it's honestly what you like. We're not going by what the IMDb says.
No, f that. I like listen
because they also list Get Out as a comedy. You know what I mean? It's a horror comedy to them, and it's like, yes, I know it makes people laugh, and I haven't seen it again. Like I said, but like you could go by that, and I'm not saying they're wrong for saying that, but I also don't necessarily view it that way. It's the same like any of these other ones. Like Little Monsters is probably just a comedy, but it's listed as a horror comedy because there's zombies in it.
Right. Listen, I think that it was a very good list, very thoughtful list. I'm sure we missed a bunch, which is why you're going to have to tweet us at the Hoff WFAN and at Pico de Gallo.
It's technically Pico de Gallo, but the whole joke, my name's spelled like Gallo.
Gallo, hey.
Shout out to Dave McSpadden, who told me that in high school to do that, and I just never dropped it. So
it's brilliant.
I don't even know where Dave is now, but thank you. we'll have tons of new episodes, too, about this.
Yes.
Tweet us. Any lists, any horror movies, recommendations, I love them. No spoilers, please.
Yeah.
Our spoilers.
But you're listening to a podcast that's based off of our top 10 list. We're going to give you spoilers. It's just going to happen. but, you know, we'll try to put it ahead so that, like, in our bio, you know the list in advance so that, you know, like, if you want to ignore, we'll just, like, skip pod.
Yeah. A lot of this stuff, there's not much that can be unevergreen about this.
Yes.
We will do maybe when Last of Us finishes, we'll do that.
Yes.
Maybe we'll do some convos if either of us watch the spinoffs or The Walking Dead. Those are coming out soon. I'm a mush. I'll watch it
all. You've been waiting for years and years.
I'm catching up on shows, so that's why I haven't watched it.
But thank you again for listening. Again, tweeted us, and I appreciate you guys listening to another episode of Gore Buddies.
Peace out.